السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب، وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, today we have gathered over here in the house of Brother Iqbal because his mom just passed away yesterday, and we did the burial today after Salatul Zuhr. As her name was Saliha Bibi, she was very pious. Allah grant her Jannatul Firdaus, and she lived a very long life. She was over 90 years. And there were three brothers, Brother Sharif and Salim and Brother Iqbal, but more than 30 years she lived with Brother Iqbal. And Alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Brother Iqbal and his family had served her till the last breath. And she breathed her last in this same house where she was living. After the age of 60, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is the bonus years, bonus life. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, the ages, the normal ages of my ummah is between 60 and 70. So whoever passes after 60 years, then it's kind of bonus. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook and forgive the sins of elderly people. It comes in one hadith, when a person's hair turn into the gray color, it becomes white and gray, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels shy to punish him or her. So Alhamdulillah, she was 90 years old, and obviously her hairs were gray and white. So Allah, we hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not punish her and forgive her because of her old age, because of that sickness and disease she has went through for so many years. And that is a kafara for the believers. Every calamity, every pain, every suffering, it becomes a means of kafara for the believers. May Allah change all her bad deeds into the hasanat, fill her grave with the noor, and elevate her status in paradise.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we all have to leave this world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوُ وَلَعِبُ. What is the life of this dunya except just the amusement, just the playing, just the game? وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. In real life is the life of hereafter, if you people or they people know about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us down in this dunya for very short and temporary period, and main purpose and reason of our existence in this very same world is to prepare for hereafter. And compared to the life in hereafter, the life of this dunya is just like a few seconds. And that is why in this Mubarak hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the example that you must live in this world just like a traveler, musafir. or the person who is crossing the road. Now, practically how long it takes to cross the road from this side to that side? Very few seconds. So that's the reality of Akhirah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrated one hadith that I was amongst those 10 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in in one occasion where we were sitting around our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one Ansari Sahabi stood up and he asked very important question. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man akiyathu nas wa man ahzamu nas? Who is most intelligent person? Who is most wise person? Who is most prepared person? We think a person who has degree, diploma, or is running successful. Amir sir, ye aapke liye. Humne. नहीं कोई बात नहीं इंशाल्लाह सामने रहो तो आपका नूर मुझे मिलेगा रिफ्लेक्शन सो मन अकिया सुनना हु इज मोर इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन इन अवर टर्मिनोलॉजी वी थिंक अ पर्सन हु इज रनिंग सक्सेसफुल बिजनेस लॉट ऑफ मनी बिग हाउस फ्लैशी कार ही इज सक्सेसफुल पर्सन इज अ वाइज पर्सन. But look what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to that Sahabi's question. Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that most intelligent person is that who remembers his death and who prepare before the time of death. That person is most intelligent person because he knew the object of this life and what is the purpose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us down in this dunya. One of the great scholars, Abu Hamad Laffab, has mentioned that a person, in one of the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that whoever remembers that aktharu nas aktharu hadhi min lazzat aktharu hadhi min lazzat. Another hadith came in mind in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and the ummah at large till the Yawm al-Qiyamah that you people must remember your death excessively. Remember your death excessively. Aktharu hazim al-lazzat. Remember a thing which will cut off the desires. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim asked Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is that hazim al-lazzat? What is that who, you know, destroys or cut off the desires and lust and love for this dunya? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-maut. That is maut. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anha was very, very intelligent sahabiya amongst all the, most of the masturat. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love her the most. It is said, like half of the deen, we have learned from Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Although she lived very little period with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was very young when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this dunya, but she was very intelligent. So one day, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how we can achieve a status of the Shahada, martyrdom. In usual term, to gain and achieve the Shahada in martyrdom, we have to go to the battlefield and we have to fight against the kuffar, infidels. And in that process, if you become Shaheed, if you sacrifice your life, then this title of the Shahada you can achieve. And there is very great virtue of the Shahada, martyrdom. In one of the hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, a person is sacrificing his life for the ilahi kalimatullah, to elevate the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Islam and for the sake of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before his drop of blood touches the ground, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his shahada, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, immediately, instantly grants him Jannah. His ruh, his soul goes directly from his body to the heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the different form of the bird, and his ruh, his soul is in the form of bird and is flying around in the gardens of paradise till the Yawmul Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeding them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't tell them they are dead. They are alive and they are given their provision by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the status of the shahada. Now that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there any way that without sacrificing our lives, without going into the battlefield, we can achieve that status? See how intellect the question was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that, O Aisha, if a person remembers his death 20 times every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him or her that status. If a person every single day remembers his death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him or her the same status of the shahada without sacrificing the life. Remembrance of death is that important. Is that important? Another riwayat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, if a person is making this dua 20 times every day, Allahumma barik lana or Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Very short dua, very simple dua. If you memorize it and make a habit of reciting this dua every day, any time, Fajr, after Zohar, after Isha, Maghrib, 20 times. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Oh Allah, grant me barakah and blessing in my death and the life after death. That person also achieve the status of the shahada from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple process, simple amal, but such a great reward. My brothers, why it's so important to remember our death and how we can do it? As I said, other Sheikh Lafaf has mentioned that if a person constantly remembering his death at least 20 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him three rewards. Number one, because of remembering the death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him tawfiq to make tawbah. And that is the great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of us, including myself, we are so unmindful, we keep on committing sin with our tongue, with our eyes, with our ears, with our hands, and we don't even care to make istighfar. How many of us has the habit of making istighfar at least 100 times a day? As our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although is a Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imamul Anbiya, Rahmatul Alameen, he said, I'm making istighfar by myself every single day without missing, in one riwayat 70 times, in another riwayat 100 times. When our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned and declared in the holy book, the holy Quran, that ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi wa ma ta'akhar. He is the only being, Habibullah, most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already has forgiven his past and his future sins. He is sinless. Forgiven. He is saying, I am making istighfar every single day 70 to 100 times. Who we are? We are committing sin every moment, every day. but we have no tawfiq to make istighfar. So if you remember your death, because you, when you remember your death, you say, I'm going to die, I have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, you're not going to commit a sin deliberately, intentionally, knowingly. Because you know you're going to die and you have to stand in front of Allah. You are remembering your death constantly in back of mind. So first of all, the benefit of remembering death is that Allah will grant you that you won't commit the sin deliberately. But as a human habit, al-insanu murakkabu min al-khata'i wa nisyan, this is our second nature. We do commit mistake, we do commit sin, we do make mistake by nature, right? So if unintentionally, unknowingly, if we do something wrong, violate any commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, transgress any hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that Allah will give us tawfiq immediately to repent, to make sincere tawbah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, kullu bani adam khata'un wa khairul khata'in at-tawwabun, every human being beside Anbiya alayhim salam, because they are masoom, they are sinless, every human being is the sinner, no matter how great he is, how muttaqi and how pious he is, but at the end of the day he is going to commit some sins. So kullu bani adam khata'un, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. But best a sinner is that after committing sin, after violating the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not remain and continue in that condition, in that situation. Rather, immediately he repents and turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes sincere tawbah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, if a person is making sincere tawbah, what is the benefit? What is the benefit of making sincere tawbah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "At-taibu min adh-dhanbi kama la dhanba lahu." A person who is making sincere tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases his sins like he never even committed the sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even make kiraman katibin, the two angels who are sitting on our shoulders and they are recording our sins, you know, every single moment. Allah make them also forgive our sins. Our book of deed becomes clean. Like, you know, in today's terms, we are sitting on computers for hours and hours. So many, you know, online, you know, the websites and what. We search hours and hours, right? And then there is a special button which is called delete. The moment you press that delete button, whatever you have searched for 2 hours, 3 hours, different website, different links, different clips on YouTube, or everything get deleted. The history get deleted. If someone else on that screen again, he won't be able to see what we were observing. That is the facility installed in the computer, that you click the delete button and every history will be deleted, all the history, isn't it? And screen becomes clean. This is the practical example. When a person is making sincere tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deletes, erases his sins just like a delete button on the computer. Even from the book of deed also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes and make the angels forgive all those sins which they have recorded. So first benefit of remembering death, Sheikh Abu Ahmad has mentioned, that Allah grants him tawfiq to repent, tawfiq to make sincere tawbah. The second benefit, if you make remember your death at least 20 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this remembrance, will reduce your hopes, your desires. We all are full of desires. We are hoping, if I am renting house, I want to buy the house. If I am driving Nissan or Toyota, I want to buy the Tesla. That's our dream, right? That's our hope. That's our goal, to achieve more and more dunya, to accumulate and amass more and more worldly things. If I have a small house, I want to sell it, I want to make big house. Right? I want to change my furniture, I want to change my curtains every year. It's too old now. Right? So when a person is remembering his death at least 20 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reduce his hopes and lust and desires of this dunya. He will not hope for the big house because he's remembering every day I have to live. What a big palace going to benefit me when I have to go and go into my cover 3x6. That's my final abode. What I'm going to do for 4-bedroom house and double story house. So his desires, his hope will reduce by remembering the death. He will not wish for so many things. And the third benefit, Sheikh Lafav has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the ability to be content whatever he possesses. Qanaat. In Arabic terms, it's called qanaat. Whatever you have, sufficient. You earning bread at the end of the day is enough for you for one day. You won't hope, you won't plan, you won't have big plan in your mind because you are remembering your death. You are remembering your death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the tawfiq to be a content whatever he possesses or whatever she possesses. I don't need a branded clothing because at the end of the day I have to wear the kafan. I don't need flashy car. As long as I can go from place A to B with any vehicle is enough, sufficient for me. So he will be content. He will become content and he will not have any lust and desire for this dunya. So remembering death will benefit you three things in this world. Number one, Allah will grant him tawfiq to make sincere tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reduce his hopes and lust and desire for dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him content. On the opposite side, flip side, when a person is unmindful of about death, he does not remember his death, he is so indulged, engulfed in worldly things, day and night. Since he's woke up, he's just running after dunya, he wants to accumulate more and more wealth, and at the end when he sleeps with the same back of mind, that tomorrow morning I have to be awake, I have to go to this job, I have to go this work, I have to do this, I have to do that. 24/7, like an animal, is running after the dunya. So when a person does not remember his death, regardless is remembering or is not remembering, death is going to come on its appointed time. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Final decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when anyone's time is arise, not a single moment late, not a single moment early, but on his fixed time, on his appointed time, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, will come and snatch his ruh. No matter in whatever condition, situation he or she will be. So we have to prepare for it. But if a person is unmindful about death, what is the harm of this thing? Number one, Allah doesn't give him tawfiq to repent. He's going to continue his lustful life, his unmindful life of this dunya without making any sincere tawbah. He does not remember. He's so unmindful of his death. The second harm of not remembering death is he going to hope for plan for 30 years, 25 years. He buy the big house, mortgage for 35 years. Now every month he's paying 3,000, 5,000, 6,000 installment. He's buying flashy car. He cannot afford. But that is his hope to drive Tesla. So he's going to somehow will make it happen. And now he's going to pay installment every month. And that's why he's going to make double job, triple job. So his hopes, his desire will be unlimited. Like we have cell phone plan, unlimited. Likewise, his desires will have no end. And he will never be content. Whatever he gets, He wants more. That's why in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, if a Bani Adam, if insan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the gold full of valley, a valley. No one can imagine that he got the whole valley full of gold and silver and diamonds. No one can have it. Right? But just imagine, for the sake of imagination, if Allah will grant him so much of wealth, so much of gold and silver, full of valley, he will not content on that. He thinks, this is not sufficient for me. I need another valley like this. I want third valley like this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only the sand of the grave will fill his mouth. May Allah save for all of us. This is the reality. So there is no end of his desire, of his hope. He will not be content in any way. These are the three harms of not remembering the death. Always explain, a person who remembers his death every single day, he gets two awards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two awards. One, in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of remembering death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the honor and sharafat and dignity and respect amongst the people. His all relatives will respect him, his children will respect him, especially his wife will respect and honor him. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the system of Allah. Allah will put his respect, his love, his muhabbat in the hearts of the people. Why? Because he is remembering the death. So this is the benefit of this dunya, that Allah will grant him honor and dignity and sharafat and love amongst the people. He will be very respectful, honorable person amongst the people. In hereafter, which is our ultimate goal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate his status, will grant him bigger paradise with the full of rivers and gardens and fruits and mala aynun ra'at wala uzunun samiyat wala khatar ala kalbi bashar. Okama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Allah ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned in one of the hadith that a person is a believer and he died on iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him the paradise, and all the bounties and ni'mah of the paradise is such, in this dunya, no one can imagine, no one have heard, no one have seen this scenario. We cannot imagine. It's beyond our imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the names of the fruits, for example, grape and fig in the Holy Quran, that they will have grapes and this and that. But that is just for our understanding. The milk of Jannah will not be the milk which we are buying from Food Max. It will be much wider, much better quality than this Food Max milk. The river of honey, the honey will not be like we are buying from Trader Joe. That is nothing compared to the honey of paradise. We cannot compare. The sharab, don't go to any liquor shop, is haram in this dunya. The sharab is mentioned in the Holy Quran. The sharab and liquor is not what is but wiser, and they are selling. You know, don't try it. So this is just a name for us because we are familiar to these names. So for our understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, the river of the sharab, river of milk, river of honey, you know, floating underneath your apartment, underneath your palace. Just go out, step out, there's the milk, river. There's a honey full of milk. I mean, river is running, the honey. Just go and drink it, and you won't get satisfied. So that's are the benefits of the paradise. One fruit, one apple, one pomegranate will be such a big and huge, it will be sufficient for the entire family. We haven't seen that big and large fruit in this dunya. We cannot see. Out of imagination, out of our thinking, beyond our, you know, this thing. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us in paradise. For that we have to prepare. So if you remember your death, these two benefits, that you are going to be respectful in this dunya, and you will be successful and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hereafter, and Allah has already prepared for you the paradise. Now ulama explained how we should do the muraqabah of death, how we should remember a death at least 20 times, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has suggested us to remember the death. Just say maut, 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 tasbih 20 times? No. Any day, once a day, fix your time. Whether after Fajr or before Fajr, tahajjud time, or during the day whenever you have time, or evening, or best time before going to sleep. Just 5 minutes, 5 minutes before you sleep. Don't watch all the dramas and serials and things. You know, throw away your remote and cell phone, and just sit down just for 5 minutes. When you've done everything, talking to your wife and this and that, just 5 minutes in privacy, sit down and then think, I'm very sick. I'm lying on the bed. Now doctor came, he already tested me and he gave up. He said, this person is not going to survive anymore. It's just a matter of time. Think, imagine. And then after a few minutes, you see your all relatives, because the doctor already said, matter of time, come and see him. And whatever you want to do, do it for him. So the relatives, your wife, your parents, your sons and daughters, and brothers, sisters, they are surrounding on your bed. They are looking at you. Some of them are very sad. Some of them are crying. They are emotional. And then think, the Malakul Maut has come and he snatched my ruh away from my body. Then I am dead. The moment a person dies, first thing, that his identity has taken away. Now, no one is saying is so and so is king of the kingdom, or is the president of the country, or is CEO of the company. What a person said, he's mayyit, dead body. Remove the dead body. Do this to mayyit. Do death to the mayyit. Bring the mayyit forward. You know. So his name has been changed. His name is taken away. Then the dresses, the garments he used to spend the money to buy from the branded companies, that dress is going to cut off from his body. And now this is the similarity of our childhood, our birth time, and our death time. When a newborn baby comes in this world, he cannot take shower by itself. A mom or his khala or his sister, whoever, is bathing that small child every day. Right? He cannot take shower by himself. He cannot dress up by himself. Someone has to put on dress or nappy on his body. He's so fragile, he's so weak. Right? He cannot eat by himself. Someone has to feed him, milk or whatever. He's so dependent on the people in the beginning stages of his childhood, infancy. Likewise, my brothers and sisters, when a person dies, he comes back to the same condition, to the same situation. Now, every single day in the morning or in the night before sleeping, he used to take shower. But now today, he could not take shower. People are surrounding him and giving him ghusl. Every day he used to choose the best dress according to the function, according to the season. Is warm dress or is a cold dress, is a winter or summer, is going to the party, is going to the interview, is going to... Accordingly, he has so many kind of different designs and color, his wardrobe and his closet is full with the clothing. He used to pick every single day. Today, the closet is there, all the dresses are there, but he's not able to pick up any dress by himself. People will decide which kind of clothes we have to wrap around his body. And they're going to choose only single white sheet. No matter he's the king of the kingdom, Saudi Arabia, or he's the president of the America, he's going to be shrouded with the single sheet, white sheet. All dresses are there. So he's so helpless, he's so powerless, he's dead. He goes no movement. Now imagine, while you are sitting on your bed, imagine all these things. Now people are giving ghusl to me. Now they are shrouding me on the coffin. Now my janaza is ready. Now they are taking me in the van. They are taking me to the masjid. Now they are performing a salatul janaza. Now they are carrying me to the grave. And now they are burying me into the grave. And they throwing same my beloved father, my beloved brother, my son, my grandson, my nephew. They're picking up the sand and they're throwing on me. They're filling my grave so mercilessly. I love them so much. I sacrificed my whole life. I was working hard to get money to provide them food and whatever they wanted. I gave them the car. I gave them the best of the things. And I wasted my entire life. Today, they are picking up the sand and they're throwing on me. They don't care I'm going to get hurt inside the grave. They don't care. And after a few minutes, I can hear that footsteps. They are going away further and further away from myself, from my grave. Now, I'm alone. I build up such a big house, 4-bedroom house, double story, in the posh area. I spent so much of millions of dollars on it. Now look at me. They bring me out from my palace. They thrown me and dumped me into the grave. 3x6. There is no pillow. There is no mattress. There is no electricity. There is nothing there. I am alone. They left me mercilessly. No one cares about my feelings, my loneliness. Now I'm alone there. They left. They're going back to the house. They're going to eat the dinner. They're going to enjoy again. They're going to go back to the life. And the very next day, no one is going to remember me anymore. So, imagine all these things. Now, Malakul Maut, now is, Munkar and Nakir is entered in my grave. And they are questioning me, three very specific questions for everybody, regardless Muslim or non-Muslim. These three questions are for everyone. Mar Rabbuka, who is your Lord? وَمَا دِينُكَ, what is your religion? وَمَا تَقُولُ لِهَذَا الرُّجُلُ, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be shown his picture in the grave. If a person is answering these three questions correctly, رَبِّي اللَّهِ دِينِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَهَذَا نَبِيُّنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ, then the angels will give glad tidings that you have successfully passed your test, your examin. Now, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his grave will be extended as far as you can see. We cannot imagine, my brothers, this dunya in barzakh, alam in barzakh is totally different alam, is totally different world. Here, our qabar is only 3x6, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside will extend the grave, it will be so far, so wide, as far as you can see. Then window of paradise will be opened for him. And the breeze of the Jannah, the fragrance of the Jannah, he will feel. He will enjoy the fragrance of Jannah. It's reality. It's not a joke. It's not a fairy tale. It is happening for the pious people, for those who have lived their life according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way shown by beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the angels will say, Nam ka nawmat al arus. Now you must sleep like a new bride. Just recently, she got married. Now she is sleeping. First night. How peacefully, without any bothering, without any worry and concern, she sleeps. Because now she is married. She is protected now. She is the queen of the house. So she has kind of, relaxation. That's how the mayyit will sleep and wait till the Yawmul Qiyamah. For the Qiyamah. On the other side, if a person is not answering this question correctly, then the grave start conjecturing him. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, like fingers are interlocked with each other. That's how the grave is going to conjecture him. Allah save all of us. Then big serpents and the fire and the scorpion will be spread openly, freely on his body. They're going to bite him from morning to Dhuhr, Dhuhr to Asar, Asar to Maghrib, 24/7. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that qabr is whether a part of the paradise or is a pit of the hell. It all depends on our amal, on our actions, on our lifestyle. How we live our life in this dunya, accordingly our qabr, our grave will be prepared. Finally, there are two incidents. Number one, if a person is living his life with lust and desires, how his ruh and his soul will be, you know, taken away. It is said when a malakul maut comes to the person, he start taking away and snatching his ruh from his leg, from the toes. First his toes get, you know, powerless, and then his knees, then his thigh, then his chest, then his neck, and then from his mouth the ruh comes out finally. That's why when a person dies, always his mouth is open, lips are open, and his eyes are open. He can see his ruh is taken away to the heaven. He follows the ruh. He can see that. That's why his eyes are also open. So when a person is believer, then the malakul maut is taking his ruh and soul very gently, very slowly, without feeling. Just like one hair from the dog. That's how easily he takes away his ruh. He doesn't feel anything. But for the sinful person, disobedient servant, he takes ruh so badly, so terrifying, and so painfully, entire body is becomes, you know, with full of pain, may Allah say all of us. So there was a king who was very, very cruel, and he has everything, but he has no mercy. He wanted to visit his people. So he put on best of the dress and took the army with him and is going out. Is going out, one very old person, beggar, came in front of his horse and hold on, strain of the horse. He got very upset. He said, "Who are you? How dare you are? Why are you stopping my way? I'm going to visit my people." He says, "Sir, just listen to me. I just have one thing to share with you. I don't have time. I'm going to visit. Come later." He said, "No, you have to listen to my advice." He was insisting. Finally, the king said, "Okay, tell me. I'm getting late." He said, "Bring your ear close to me." He became very upset. Which kind of person is that? He's stopping the king? How dare he is? Finally, when a king lowered his head towards him, he said, "I am Malakul Maut and came to snatch your ruh." There and there he became free. His face became pale. He said, "Please give me a little time to see my queen, to see my wife." He said, "No time." There and there his ruh was snatched away. My voice is fainting now, inshallah, we end over. Alhamdulillah. Read Durood Sharif, inshallah, we make dua. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد ربنا ابو عيسى اب توكل اللهم اغفر لي انا وميتنا وشهيدنا وغريبنا وشهيدنا اللهم اغفر لي آمین اے رب میرے غم کے اندر ہم جمع ہوئے اے اللہ ہم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما اے اللہ مغفرت کر اللہ آمین اے اللہ پیدائش سے لے کر موت تک کی جو نقشہ کھینچا گیا ایک حق ہے حقیقت ہے یہی ہدایت آپ نے اے اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو سمجھ کو ہمارے خیال کو آمین اے اللہ ہدایت عطا فرما دے زندگی کو اے اللہ خیر عطا فرما دے اے میرے مولا اے مولا
दुनिया धोखा की जगह है। ए अल्लाह, जिसको आज समझ लिया है उसको माफ़ को जहाँ छोड़ कर आए हैं। ए अल्लाह।